This is Ask Me Another, the food show. Did you save room for dessert? Can I tempt you with our sinfully decadent chocolate torte with homemade vanilla bean ice cream? I'll just leave the menu here for you, and I'll be right back. Also, I'm Jonathan Colton. Here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. It's time to welcome our special guest. She won season 6 of The Great British Bake Off. Since then, she's hosted multiple cooking shows, including the BBC and Netflix series Nadia's Time to Eat and Nadia Bakes. And she's also the author of 4 children's books and 5 cookbooks, including her latest called Nadia Bakes, which is available now. Nadia Hussein, welcome to Ask Me Another.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. I have to say thank you so much for coming to us from a different time zone. Where are you right now exactly? Are you in London?
Yes, I mean, okay. I'm just outside of London.
And I know you grew up just outside of London, and you didn't grow up in a baking household, and your mother actually used your family oven for storage?
Absolutely. we did a lot of stovetop cooking, we had an oven that came with the cooker.
Yeah.
But my mum used it for storage. So she would put all her frying pans and, we very much, we made samosas and things like that. So my mum would put all her kind of leftover oil in her pans inside the oven. And that's what I thought it was. I thought it was storage the whole time. I grew up thinking that cupboard was storage up until the point I went to school when my home ec teacher opens up this cupboard and there are flames in this cupboard. I was like, Mrs. Marshall has gone mad. She's lost it. The cupboard is on fire. And she was like, no, this is an oven. And that was a complete revelation for me.
Well, clearly a lot changed in the course of from that moment to most recently in 2015, you won season 6 of The Great British Bake Off. When I watched The Bake Off, it's so comforting. It is a soothing, wonderful competition show, and everyone seems so supportive of each other.
I mean, it is when you're a viewer.
Yeah, so what is it actually like?
Very different. I mean, as a Bake Off fan, I've watched it for years. Before I was a part of the show, watched it for years. So there is something very soothing about watching amateur bakers lose it a little bit in a tent kind of make it is. I don't know what it is. It's really harsh telly. It is in some ways, but somehow wrapped in bunting and a beautiful tent in the British countryside, it somehow appeals and it works. But it's a whole other, I think, from a different perspective, as somebody who's been a part of the show, it is when you've got sort of 50 people in a tent with contestants and cameras in your face every time you make a move or before you even put anything in an oven. They're like, you've got to let us know before you put something in the oven, you've got to let us know before you take something out so they can get their shots, amateur bakers, we just want to bake, we just want to get the bake right. And often you start, you're having these conversations midway. And for a lot of us, it was natural to, like, I have 3 kids, 2 cats, and, I'm used to kind of stopping and starting and multitasking while I'm baking. So for me, that wasn't that difficult. But for others, they're used to kind of peacefully baking with no interruptions. Whereas with Bake Off, I think there is all of the kind of jeopardy in those moments where things go wrong. But there's also, I know as a contestant with 11 other contestant friends, we did kind of will each other on. It was really hard to see somebody go. And we were really supportive of each other. And, there were moments where, I remember sometimes somebody would look over and be like, I can't remember what temperature jam is supposed to go up to. And you're kind of like mouthing the temperature to them. So, it's one of those things, it's a competition, but equally it's not.
Shortly after you were on the show, you were asked to bake a cake for the Queen of England's 90th birthday party. That sounds like a lot of pressure.
Yes. I mean, it was really bizarre because I was kind of thrown into the thick of it, and it became that whole kind of whirlwind. I was in the center of this whirlwind, and then I get this email to say, will you bake a cake for the Queen? And in my haste, I did actually consider saying no. I did. I said, I think I'm going to say no. And it was like, really? You're going to say no? I'm sure that's like treason or something. I'm sure you're just strong and courted. I don't know. I was like, what do I do? And so I did what most parents do, and I consulted my four-year-old. And and I said, so, you know, I got this email, and they've asked me to bake this cake for the Queen. And my little girl said, but Mummy, you've baked a cake for the Queen. And I said, no, I haven't. And I was like, this is confusing me. Like, we had this conversation back and forth. I was like,
yeah,
you've baked it. I said, no, I haven't baked it. Where are you getting this from? She said, yeah, Mary Berry is the Queen of England. And I said, oh. I was like, oh, love. No, she's not the Queen of England. And she said, oh, Mum, you can't say that. Mary Berry's the Queen of England. I was like, no, she's not. She goes, I don't know who the other old lady is, but you can bake her a cake if you want to. In our house, Mary Berry's the Queen.
I love that. So you say yes, and then are you provided with any guidance, like likes or dislikes or flavors or...
Literally nothing.
What?
I had nothing. And then they said, the only thing that we're asking, I thought, yes, this is great. They're going to give me something. And they said, can you just make sure it's not fruitcake? Because she's quite old and she can't really cut fruitcake because it's quite tough.
Yeah.
So I was like, is that it? I was not going to make fruitcake anyway.
For a 90th birthday party. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's not Christmas. It's not a wedding. Right. So it wasn't going to be fruitcake anyway. So, and again, like I said, I consulted my four-year-old at the time and she said, well, you did make Mary Berry a lemon drizzle in the final. So you could just make her an orange drizzle. And I was like, that's not a bad shout. So that's exactly what I did. I made an orange drizzle sponge with a very kind of a zesty orange drizzle. And then I made a orange buttercream, and then it was laced with marmalade. So it was zesty and fresh, perfect for that time of year.
And did you receive any feedback afterwards?
Literally nothing. Again.
Right now, you also have a new cookbook that is accompanying your series on Netflix called Nadia Bakes.
Yes.
And there is a whole section in the cookbook that I love dedicated to no bake bakes.
Yes.
And within the no bake bakes, if I'm the most beginner, where should I start?
Oh, my goodness. Just give me a second.
Okay. Great. Oh, my. I think I'm getting literature brought
in. I hope she brings back a cake.
Yes, so, right, here it is. Please send me that
this
cake.
This book, okay. If you're the kind of baker who isn't confident but wants to create something beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I think if I was going to pick a recipe, it would probably be the banana and blueberry cheesecake. It's frozen bananas, really simple, and it's a banana cheesecake ice cream. So you've got like a biscuit base, frozen bananas, maple syrup, cocoa, and then you've got a gorgeous warm blueberry compote on top, and you don't even have to turn the oven on.
That sounds exactly my speed.
Yeah.
Nadia, we have some great games for you. But first, I have a mini challenge for you, since we were just talking about making things.
Mm-hmm.
So today we're challenging all of our guests to improvise a dish on the spot,
mm-hmm.
incorporating two ingredients that were suggested by our listeners.
Okay.
Okay, first...
Are they going to be the most ridiculous ingredients? Let's hear this.
Sure.
Yeah, of course, to
a certain extent. So the what I would call the divisive yeast spread Marmite.
Right.
And super wide sweet potato starch noodles.
Oh my goodness, easy.
And there's a decoration on top and a emoji-shaped birthday candles.
This is a no-brainer. This is a dish that I do all the time. And it's literally boiled pasta or noodles. So you boil the noodles and I would warm up a little bit of butter with like a tablespoon of that yeast extract and melt the yeast extract and then literally just pour that on top of my noodles. And normally, like if I'm allowed, I would just grate a little bit of cheese on top. So you've got that salty, cheesy, it's one of our go-to dinners at home. So, and as for the candles, throw them in the bin. Unless you have cake.
No, that's great.
Throw them in the bin.
That was incredible. That was incredible. Now, I read when you bake a cake at home or wherever you are, that you usually have a bowl of tangy sweets nearby to eat at the same time. Is that?
Yes, that is the story of my life. I have jars of sweets dotted around the entire house, and I have sweets under my pillow.
just in case like you wake up in the middle of the night and you want a little bit of candy.
A little something.
It happens, Jonathan. It happens. I wake up sometimes and I've got like an idea for a recipe. So I'll sit there and I'll write these recipes with the light on my phone and then I'll write them down. They'll be like, oh, there's time for a fizzy snake. And so I'll just pop a little fizzy snake in my mouth. And then I spend a lot of time brushing my teeth. I go and brush my teeth and then I come back. So yes. Yes, I love sweets.
Also, the idea that you have snake-shaped sweets under your pillow, I think, is particularly hilarious. Just someone else will be like, oh, my God. Oh, it's a candy. Okay. Okay, so we know that you love gardening.
Yes.
So we wrote a culinary botanical game for you.
Okay.
Okay, so here's the idea. Many plants look very different, but are actually very closely related in the sense that they are members of the same botanical family.
Yes.
So we're going to give you two plants, and you just tell us, are they related or are they not related?
Oh, okay.
Okay, so let's give it a shot. Mm-hmm. So here's your first one. Almonds and cherries, are they related?
Oh, I want to say yes, but I'm going to say yes.
You are right.
To say yes.
No, you should say yes.
Okay.
Yes, say yes.
They are related.
They are related. Yes, they're like Prince William and Prince Harry of the stone fruits.
Okay.
So they're both stone fruits.
But very different.
AKA drupes, like peaches. But the almonds we eat are the droop seeds from the almond tree.
Okay.
And they are related. I know. Who knew?
I will break the ice in a new conversation of new people with that fact.
Yeah, this is what this show is for, is to arm you at parties with conversational gambits. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, here's another one for you.
Okay.
Catnip and peppermint, are they related?
What is catnip made of?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Excellent question.
Well, it is a plant.
It is, because it's like this grassy stuff. I know, because... Mm-hmm. I have cats, and my son puts catnip in the weirdest places. He just kind of around
the house.
Yeah, well, the cats go insane sometimes. I'm like, what? I'm like, what have you done? He goes, oh, I've just put catnip in the laundry basket. I'm like, but why? So, but do they like peppermint? I'm just trying to think if they like. I'm gonna say no.
They are actually related. They're both in the mint family.
Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And cats love catnip because it contains a chemical similar to cat pheromones, which makes them go crazy. That's why they.
Which makes them go crazy. Mm-hmm.
You know what? Why don't give them a mojito? That's where I would start.
Give a cat a mojito.
I bet that might slow them down. But they'd be so happy.
They'd be happy.
Listeners, do not do this. This is just
happy,
a joke.
Drunk
just
cats.
So you know.
Yeah.
Happy drunk cats. I'd buy that book, by the way. All right, Nadia, how about bananas and strawberries? Are they related?
I'm going to say no.
All right, you are correct. The answer is no. The way we have it broken down here is that bananas are technically berries and strawberries are not. It's because the botanical definition of a berry is a fruit that comes from a single flower with one ovary. Strawberries come from a single flower with more than one ovary. Strawberries are actually more closely related to roses.
Oh, wow. See what I mean? Just go buy a strawberry, kids.
Just go buy a strawberry.
It's too much trouble. Talking about a strawberry.
I know. This is the part where you become the annoying person at the cocktail party with your facts. You're like, well, actually, it's not a. You don't want to do that.
That's right. That's why I never bring my pedantic botanist friend with me. Yeah.
I know. They seem so great at dinner, and then you bring them to a party.
You're like, no, thank you.
Your invite got lost in the post.
Yeah, sorry. All right, here's another one. This is a weird one. Peanuts and clover.
I'm going to say no, they're not related, but you're going to tell me different, aren't you?
I'm going to tell you different. They are actually related. They're both in the pea family of plants. So peanuts aren't really nuts. They're technically legumes, which have these edible seeds that come in a pod. And the same is true of clover.
Really?
Yeah, they're both part of the pea family of plants. Again, this is when you're like, why did I bring the botanist here? Why is he ruining every conversation?
The botanist.
Although I love, by the way, I just want to say, I love saying the word legume.
Yeah, it's just a good word.
It's a great word.
It's a good word. Rolls off the tongue.
legume. All right, Nadia, how about licorice and anise?
I mean, flavor-wise, they're quite similar, aren't they? So it's interesting. So I'm going to say yes, but are you going to tell me different?
I am going to tell you different. Yeah. They are not. They taste very similar, but get this, licorice comes from the legume family.
No.
Yes.
This is getting ridiculous now.
More botanist trickery.
And I know.
Anise comes from the parsley family.
Really?
And I just found out that star anise isn't related to anise. Star anise comes from the magnolia family.
Oh, we don't care anymore. Jonathan, you know we don't
keep
care,
all
do
of
we?
Your plants. Keep yeah. all of your plants. We don't talk even to me care. About them.
We have, yeah, to, no. we have right. to redo everything. We have to redo all of our naming conventions because right. they were just based on willy-nilly ideas.
That's right.
Of nothingness.
All right, here's the very last one.
Okay.
Artichokes and sunflowers.
I don't know. I care so much, but equally I don't. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to say they're related.
They are absolutely related. They both come from the daisy family. So nice. Artichokes, actually, if you let artichokes grow, instead of yes. picking them and eating them, they mm-hmm. bloom. And when they bloom, they have these beautiful purple flowers. Mm. And so the thing that's similar about these plants, their flowers are grouped very close together, makes them look to us like one big flower. So, you know, when you see like a petal on a sunflower, each one of those is its own individual flower.
Yes, amazing. That's quite interesting, that.
You did fantastic. You did great. I'm going to say yes, you did. Yes, you did.
I mean, I love your enthusiasm, but I didn't. And will I remember any of it? Nope.
No, it hardly matters.
It doesn't matter, because you'll just eat it and enjoy it, and yeah. that's the most important right. thing.
Yeah.
Nadia Hussein's latest cookbook is called Nadia Bakes and is available now. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been so much fun.
Excellent. That's our show. Ask Me Another's house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Hey, my name anagrams to Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Our games were written by our staff, along with Julia Melfi and Kate Villa, with additional material by Kara Weinberger. Ask Me Another is produced by Nancy Seychow, James Sparber, and Ramel Wood, with Gianna Capodona and our intern, Zach St. Clair. Our senior producer is Travis Larchuk. Our senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal. And our boss's bosses are Steve Nelson and Anya Grudman. Thanks to our production partner, WNYC. I'm Her Ripe Begonias.
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR.